The land, if you're truly in this and you want resurrection power, you can't do it if you're too fleshy. You just can't. You can't carry resurrection power until you've gone to the cross yourself, meaning you've taken the pride thing and killed it. You've got to take the me thing and kill it. It's not about you and me. It's about Jesus and his people. People that he wants saved, people that he wants to touch, people that are broken, hurting, messed up, screwed up, they've been lied to, they've been raped, they've been, all kinds of things have happened to them. He has no hands and feet in this earth except you and me. And if we're busy going, I was used to God, and we're so busy congratulating ourselves because we got used because our ego is so messed up, because maybe we're so broken, God wants that dealt with. He loves you. He's not condemning you, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're hungry to be used of God, he wants to use you, but he's saying you have to have your heart converted. I started to tell you something, I forgot. I was on the deck one day, and God pulled the curtain back over my heart, and what I saw was, he said, here's a good test for your heart, Holly. If you want to be used in healing, why? See, my husband was used phenomenally in healing, and you know what I saw? He cared so much for people. When he would see someone in pain, it would break his heart with compassion. He didn't care about being the guy that was used. He cared that they were hurting. He cared about them. And when he would lead somebody to the Lord, it was because he couldn't bear the thought that they might go to hell and spend eternity without God. He couldn't stand the idea. God had done something in his heart to purify him. God had done something to make it about the people and the kingdom. What can you give to God? What can we really give him? You know, we give him offerings, but does he need our offerings? No. We can give him praise, but does he really need that? He enjoys it, but does he really need it? No. What is the one thing you can give him that he can't do without you? People. Souls, changed lives, when a broken person is made whole because you ministered to them. You are the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus. But what he wants is a vessel that is so pure that the glory can come straight through, that the fire of God can hit somebody. So some of you have heard my story, so guess what? You're going to hear it again. The story that changed my life the most was when I learned about Charles Finney and the sewing factory. Charles Finney had a friend that ran a sewing factory, and it was some hundreds of people. I want to say 360, you know, something like that. And, you know, it was in the olden days, right? And they had these older machines, I guess. And anyway, he came in, and he was the friend who was the manager had asked him to come in and talk about Jesus. And so he came in. He was just talking to a couple women, like two women, and one of them mocked him. Or maybe mock the Lord. And Finney was a man that carried the presence. And all he did was, he had a grieved heart and he looked at her. That's all he did. But he was so full of the power and the presence of God that the conviction of the Lord came upon her and she began to weep. This is the one that was mocking. When she began to weep, repentance began to spread through the factory. And pretty soon more people are weeping, and then more, until people completely out of vision shot and earshot, they weren't anywhere near him, they couldn't hear him or see him, are weeping because they need God. What is that? That's called the tangible presence of the Lord that a human is allowed to carry. Now, Finney lived a life devoted to God and devoted to prayer and the Spirit. And he went traveling on a horse. They say people miles away were converted because the presence was so strong. But let me just say this. It wasn't just him. It happened to Mariah Woodworth Hedder. It happened to John G. Lake. John G. Lake would try to shake hands with people just to meet him, not pray for him, not be spiritual, just hello, how you doing? I'm John Lake. And they would hit the dust because he carried something that was heavenly. And I think the problem we have is we run around from man to man, impart to me, impart to me, impart to me. There are some things no man can impart to you. There are some things that you will never get from a good sermon or an anointed preacher or even, you know, somebody laying hands on you. There are some things you have to go in and get it. And God has torn the veil from top to bottom and invited every person to come in freely. Don't measure yourself or think you have to be perfect. You come in and you keep coming. And I want you to wear out the carpet. I want you to become so known in heaven that your voice is known. I want you to become so used to heavenly things that when you're walking on the earth, you're there and you're here. Do you know that that's how Jesus did what he did? Somebody saying, prove it. Okay, I'll prove it. Jesus said about himself, now listen, if this wasn't in the red letters, I wouldn't believe it. He said about himself, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. That's what he said. What do you mean? You're the Son of the living God. What are you talking about? You can do nothing. You know what he was saying? I stripped myself of my heavenly glory. I limited myself so that my flesh is exactly like yours. Can't do a thing in my flesh. That's what he was saying. You know what he was doing? He was giving us a key. The next thing is, says, he does it. Okay, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. You know, people who didn't know better might think, oh, he's the Son of God. He's telling us to worship him. No, he's saying, here's how you do it. This is the secret to how you do it. Your flesh has no ability. Stop trying to minister in your own thing. Forget that. Burn it. Take it out back. Burn it. I knew a guy from Israel. This guy was hilarious. And he was a Jewish man that had gotten born again. And the Lord told this man and his wife to go start a coffee shop, I think in Tel Aviv, and just bring people in for, you know, coffee and little cakes and just open relationship and try to talk to them about Jesus. And it went very badly. They were bombed. They were abused. They were, you know, it was bad. And he said, we knew God told us to do it, but we took that ministry and we went up on a hill and he said, we killed that thing. We buried it. We covered up with the earth and we jumped up and down on it. Said, if you want this ministry, you raise it. And God did. You see, God wanted them, you know, God wants us to know that it's him and not us. And if we still think it's us, we will taint it, whether we think we will or not. You know, a woman, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I'm sharing it. A woman from Indiana called me, and she wanted to be mentored in the ministry. And she knew some stuff. She knew the word, and she was a teacher, and that was fine. Now, this is going to, I don't know why God has me sharing this. I said, here's what I found out. I'm from Chicago area. There's a church on every corner. There's a conference every weekend and a preacher on every channel. Why are they going to come and see me? What would make them, how could I have any success in the ministry? Because I have to go into him and get something that's so of him that it will change lives. I said to her, sweetie, you got to go into heaven and you got to get more. And you got to get more, and you got to get more after that, and go in and get more after that. I'm feeling like people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. But God is trying to raise up a people. Here's what I really want to get to. In this season, in this time in the earth, we are seeing things rift in the spirit. We're seeing storms on the horizon, aren't we? So we not sure how much of this to share, but, you know, sometimes in churches, yeah, I'll just say in the body of Christ, God is continually giving people choices to stay where they're at or come up higher. And he will honor their choices. But, you know, some people say, well, you know, if I'm not the big deal of the day, I don't want to do it. And they won't say that. They'll have all kinds of other words. But the fact is, if they can't be elevated, if they can't be the center of attention, then they won't do it at all. And we're just going to go there. My husband and I pulled up to this mega church. He had to run in and get some kind of flyer or something. And I said, I'm just going to wait in the car. And I'm waiting in the car. And I don't even think I was praying. I was just waiting in the car. But I'm right outside this church, huge, huge thing, and a very famous preacher. And I look at the base of the church, and the building in the spirit it has crushed people's bodies. There's all these crushed bodies under the foundation of this church. And God said to me, this church was built on people's lives. In other words, they didn't care, and I'm not telling you the name, okay, for a reason. But God said, the people who started the church, they were anointed to teach, very, very anointed, like very. But they didn't care about people, so they built their church, their kingdom, on people's lives. And this was years ago. I'm talking probably 15 years ago. And God said to me, you will see churches that are sold and they become Hindu temples. We have it all over Chicago. You'll see churches that are sold and they become Buddha temples. We have it all over Chicago. You'll see churches that are sold and become a mosque. You'll see churches, big churches, that are cost all kinds of money to build, and they'll get either sold for taxes or just given away because they can't sell them. And people will blame the devil. But God said, it's me. And the reason is, we're coming into a time where I'm calling my bride to a higher level. Some will come willingly. Those that have a good heart. There's a lot of people in here with a good heart. But there's some, you know, there's some people in the body that say, well, if I don't, you know, get some glory for this, I'm not doing it. And it's hard to watch when somebody refuses the grace of God. Because God wants everybody to come higher. If he had his way, we would all come up to higher places and we'd flow in the presence and we'd carry the word of God and we'd make a difference. And we'd bring glory to his name. Amen. But even in Jesus' day, it was the same. He went everywhere he went, presenting options to people, seeing what they would choose. Did you know the Pharisees? They were jealous of him. If you look at their words, they couldn't stand that he was drawing people away from them. Because were they in it for God? No, he said they were in it to be seen of men. He said, you care more about the honor of men than you do the honor of God. And he was disgusted with it. But can I say to you, we have to take great care not to be like that. I didn't know this was going to be so tough. Are you guys okay? I'm not whipping up on you? Y'all all right? I'm just saying, when God showed me my heart and he said, if you want to heal somebody, why do you want to heal them? Is it so that you'll feel like there, now I have a ministry, there, now I'm like John G., like there, I'm validated? Or is it because you care for the kingdom and for that person? I thought, this is disgusting right here. What I have in my heart is selfish. It's selfish ambition, and it's wrong. And I said, God, you have got to help me change my heart. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. We can't be satisfied with a divided heart, can we? We can't be satisfied with it being about me. And some of you are so not that way. I'm just probably more selfish than you were. But I will tell you, I see it a lot in the body, and I hate to say it, I've seen it in leaders who could go so far, and they actually had an anointing, had a calling. I was in one church where this amazing, oh my God, this guy he stood in the office. And when he preached, I'm telling you, it was amazing, and yet he had a divided heart, and I couldn't understand it. And you know, God himself had to take him down. And God offered him, God doesn't just offer you to come up higher once, he'll offer it and offer it and offer it, and even sometimes even hide your sins. Sometimes he'll even hide when somebody won't choose right, to give them more chances. He'll give them a chance, he'll give them another chance, give them another, but pretty soon he'll go public. He'll start to reveal what's really going on. And if that doesn't work, he'll make it more public. And if that doesn't work, he'll just let her rip. But listen, I'm not saying that the person isn't born again, because I don't know and I'm not the judge, but I have seen God take ministries out because they were in it for their own kingdom. And in this day, God's saying, I will not share my glory with another. I had no idea this was going to be so tough tonight. And so you might want to rethink if you let us come back next year. No, you do know. But I didn't mean to come and rebuke people. What I meant to do was show you something so high. The pearl of great price, which, listen, there's not a person in here that God wouldn't use to carry his presence. And I'm not talking about a little thing. I'm talking about as in the days of the book of Acts. I'm talking about that kind of glory, that kind of presence where everywhere they went, there was revival. Everywhere they went, they carried healing. Peter raised the dead. I mean, even Stephen, who was the helps guy. He was the helps guy. Come on. That day is coming again. And God is trying to raise his people up to a level of purity where they're more interested in the glory of God than their own deal, and they're willing to take the time to cleanse the pipe, get the stuff out, get rid of the junk so that God can flow freely to people. And then when somebody says, oh man, you're anointed, they go, listen, I want to laugh when people tell me I did a good job, because listen, I was there in the dark years and it was not a pretty sight. I was not a good person. I was not a good Christian. I was crabby, cranky, and mad at God. I had a friend that said to me one time, she said, I never saw anybody have to go through so much. Why have you had to suffer so much? And I said, all I can tell you is if God ever uses me to do anything, we'll all know it was God. And we started laughing. And she knew that was true, and I knew that was true. And why would God test me so? Why would he allow me to go through such a process? So that if I ever was used to carry something, we would all know it was him and him alone. Him and him alone. See, God wants to release himself into the earth through you. He wants to release his presence so that you are tuned into the Holy Spirit, and he says something, and you might not even think it makes sense, but you just say it out loud, and somebody goes, oh man, how'd you know that? That's the way it works. It's called bringing heaven into earth, manifesting heaven into the earth. God wants you and me to manifest heaven into the earth. He has no other way to do it. He has no other channel to do it. He has no other pipeline except you and me and the body of Christ. Now, we don't know why he's chosen to do it that way, but he has. You're like the pipeline from Jesus into the earth. And he's looking for and longing for, his heart is longing for somebody to pull the goods from heaven and release them into the earth, either by actions, by prayer, by speaking, by prophesying. That's our job in some way. It'll look different for an evangelist as it'll look for a prophet. And that'll look different than for a teacher or a pastor. But when you understand the walk of the Spirit, all of us are called to manifest the things of heaven into the earth for the sake of God's people. And when we do, it brings something to God's heart. See, God has a dream. Did you ever have something you just longed for? You just really longed for? You know, my mom, there was 5 kids in our family, and I was the last kid. And her firstborn, my oldest sister, I don't know what happened, but something happened, and she cut herself off from my mom. Didn't want anything to do with her. And it almost killed my mother. It just, my mom couldn't take it. It was so hard. And I was the one left in Chicago with my mom, the Chicago area. The sister moved to Atlanta, and she wasn't heard from for, I'm talking about decades. And all those years, I would, you know, take my mom to lunch, and, you know, I loved my mom. But it got hard because I don't remember one time in decades that I didn't go over to her house that I didn't have to hear her talk about Sue and how broken she was and how much that hurt and what could she have done different. She longed for her child to be reconciled to her. And one day God said to me, do you think I feel less about my kids that are not reconciled to me? My kids who were hurt in the church and then got mad and said, I want nothing to do with God or the church. Do you think that I feel less about that than your mom feels about Sue? See, God can be ministered to. God has a dream that his children come home. He has a dream that his broken ones get healed. And listen, I think I shared this in the last retreat, but I was driving in the car one day. I said, God, what is it that would make your day? Is there some way we could wash your feet? Is there something we could do that would make you happy? And he said the strangest thing. He said, I want to be vindicated. I said, what do you mean? He said, even in my church, I'm blamed for some bad things that happen. My own neighbor, their little grandchild, 4 years old, died of a brain tumor, and they were Christians, and their way of dealing, and I'm not condemning anyone. I do have great compassion. But their way of dealing with it was they said, well, Jesus, wants him with him. That was how they come. I thought, no, the dirty, rotten devil took him out and stole from your family and stole from him. And God said, I'm blamed when bad things happen. People say, God, why did you let that happen? He said, I want people to understand that a lot of what happens was the devil, or it was people's choices. People have sovereign choices. They make bad choices. I paid for years a terrible price for someone else's choice. It was hard. It was hard, almost destroyed my life. And it was I couldn't understand why God didn't fix it. And God would not override a man's will. And so everything rises and falls upon our choices in ministry or out of ministry. And whether you know it or not, God is continually presenting us with choices. That or me, he says. That or come higher. And I'm telling you, in this day, he's testing every human, including even the great and mighty anointed leaders. He's testing them. He's testing them. He's testing all of us. And I don't want to say too much. I recently went through something with a leader of God that wouldn't make a choice, wouldn't do it. Wanted their kingdom to come before God's. And kept refusing, the hand of God kept refusing it. And then calling it God, you know. And it was heartbreaking because God really wanted to use this guy. And I was laying in bed. I was praying for him and praying for the church. And I was laying in bed, and I looked off in the horizon. I saw this great storm on the horizon. It wasn't here yet, but I knew it was coming. It was big. It was a big storm. And I'm just laying in bed thinking, what are you saying to me? And after a few minutes, he said, Holly, look again. What do you see? He said, what do you notice about that storm? I said, well, it's white. Most storms come, they're rolling dark gray clouds. This was pure white. And he said, that's because this one is me. And he began to tell me that he was testing the heart of every man. Who was here when I talked about the tornado? Anybody here for that? Yeah. We talked about, I'll just share it real quick, years ago God showed me that in the last day there would be a tornado of God. He said those that are in him would be caught up in it, in perfect safety, peace, having a great time, hardly would know a storm was going on, but the tail of the tornado was ripping up buildings. And he said those were man-made religion. Okay? So, now fast forward, this was about 3 days ago, I think, where I saw this white storm. And God said, I'm going to do a thing in the body where people will be able to either come to the highest level they've ever dreamed of. They'll be able to come up to a place where they can walk in the heavenlies, carry my stuff on the earth. Because remember, Jesus was in both places at once. He was. He was communicating with Father. He saw what the Father in heaven was doing. I used to think, you know, when he spat and made mud, that's a little weird, isn't it? Did he just have a whim? No, he said he can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. God ever tell you to do something weird? Yeah. What happens when you obey? You've just exercised faith that God knows what he's doing. You've released heaven into earth because you obeyed. If you said, no, that's too weird, or I don't think that's God, you just missed it. You just missed the glory. You just missed releasing heaven into earth. That's how most, when I first started, all I had word of knowledge forever was physical healings. I didn't know about faith yet. I didn't know anything about faith. But I knew if he said something and I repeated it, they got healed. That's what I knew. I saw miracles everywhere I went. And it was simply just, okay, do that. Put your hand here. Okay, I was so dumb. I saw people healed. I saw one of the first healing I ever had was a woman healed of lupus. And I just, I just saw a picture of two hands on the woman's back, and I was so stupid, I didn't know he was saying, put your hands on her. Oh, well, okay, you know. So I go around behind her and I do that, and then I see another picture. And I did that and saw a third thing, and I did that, and I saw something that looked like an owl go, and it left, and she was 100% healed of lupus. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know. Wow. And I learned that if he gives you something to say and you say it, it's one and the same as if he said it. And when God said, let there be light, there is. And so I learned that that's how you manifest something from heaven into earth, by hearing accurately and just deliver. How did we get there? How did we get there? We were talking about this storm. And so God wants us to learn how to manifest heaven on earth everywhere we go. It should become normal, just like breathing, just as normal as breathing. One time I was in prayer, and I was hanging out with God, and, you know, I love to listen to him. I love when he talks to me. I just love to listen and listen and listen. And we were hanging out in this place, and he said, Hallie, you know how when I talk to you in prayer, I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to repeat what I say. I said, even when I'm alone? He said, yes. I want you to repeat everything I say. Okay. And he said, I want you to get so good at it that you can do it in front of the President of the United States or a gang on the street. And so, guess where I learned to preach? Just by hearing and say, hear and say, hear and say, hear and say. And it got to the point, it can get to the point where you open your mouth and he talks and you don't know who said what. Kenneth Hagin said one time he was preaching and he heard this just powerful heavenly prophecy. It was so powerful, he said it was like a fireball. And he turned around to see who did it. And he said, and it was me. What happened? He'd become accustomed to the glory. So you can acclimate yourself to the presence, to a place where it's where you live. Okay? And that's what Jesus did. He walked in the Spirit while in his flesh. People couldn't see it, but you know who saw it? Demons saw it. People never fell down and said, oh God, don't torment me before the time, but Satan did. The minute he showed up, the demon possessed would hit the deck. Oh, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And he'd tell him to shut up. Because they live in the realm of the Spirit, and they could see in the realm of the Spirit, and they knew exactly who he was. Do you understand? God's trying to bring us to a place where we walk as he walked. And you say, would he really do that for me? Absolutely. But he doesn't hand it out like candy, because most people won't handle it right. Okay? Most people will take it and, you know, get weird. Just being honest. But if you will season yourself, if you will submit yourself to the mighty hand of God and let him change you, let him get rid of your stuff, let him deal with your generational stuff and your heart stuff and your complex, whatever it is. You know, we've all got stuff. Stop pretending you don't have stuff. You do. And I've had more than anybody, so I can say so. I have, I'm telling you, I had baggage galore. So what God is trying to do is raise up a body, but there will be a great divide, also known as the great falling away. Some people will not make the choice, and some people will just say, this is too hard, and they're not at what. The reason we do Free Indeed now, as much as we do, is because part of the great falling away will happen because people's emotion can't take the heat. They say, well, I signed up to be born again, but I didn't sign up for persecution. Or I signed up for this, but I didn't sign up for that. See, the problem we have is a lot of people came to the altar and said the sinner's prayer because somebody said, if you don't do that, you'll go to hell. But they never made Jesus Lord. And I know because I had done that. When I got saved at 15, I knew Jesus was real, but I had no intention of letting him run everything. So I gave him bits and pieces, and there was this one little area that I held back. That area almost killed me. Every area I gave to him, he made a booming success. First area I gave him was finances, very first. And he caused me to make more money than all the men in my neighborhood at the age of 24, and I knew it was him. And I wasn't even living right. But this one area I held back was men. I'm giving that over. Because I thought he'd give me some guy with thick glasses and we'd have to go to the hottest part of Africa. And hilariously, he did make me date a guy that ended up translating Bibles for Wycliffe in the hottest part of Africa. And I thought God was going to make me marry that guy. He's one light bulb that he translates by. God bless him and keep him far away from me.
Oh, how do I get here?
So in this coming storm, we will see all kinds of crazy stuff. But stay in him and you'll be more and more stabilized, more and more protected, and more in peace. So we've been talking a lot over the past three retreats. People keep having similar visions of these doors in heaven. I had one many years ago, a number of doors in heaven, and they were ever growing smaller and lower. And you could only go to the next room when you dealt with some of your stuff and you'd become, you know, you've gotten rid of your stuff, so now you're able to go lower in humility, right? And so the final door I saw was very, very low. It was like that. You talk about limbo, what do they call it, limbo? And so God is calling us, but there's ever increasing glory. And when you go into one room of one level of his presence, you have to acclimate to it. You have to get used to that level, right? And function in it and handle it and then steward it well and not get, you know, hot to trot. And if you do that for a while, then he says, okay, good. Now let's go to the next level. Some people want it all at once. It doesn't happen that way. We have to be seasoned. We have to be changed. And so he's calling us to that very highest level. He won't say no to anybody, but some people will say no because they don't want to change. They don't want to be made lower. They want to be the big deal of the day, okay? So I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. But when God showed me the storm, I knew what he was reminding me of that church that I saw. That he said, there will be things that are going to fall apart and people will blame the enemy. So now, like a week and a half before that, Janda had handed me this printed word that is actually from many years ago. She said, this is really a word from the Lord. You need to read it. I said, I will read it. And I put it in my purse and I forgot. Until the day after that morning when I saw that storm and I knew what God was saying, now's the time for the tornado. And that tornado is God. But those who are in the tornado, in the heart of it, in him, will hardly know there's a storm. In that tornado, we were having tea and cakes, just having a great time, laughing. I really didn't even know there was a storm. And then I looked down and went, oh, we're in a tornado. And I saw it ripping things to shreds. I believe we're entering soon. I don't know how soon that storm is coming, but I believe it's pretty soon. So we're driving in a car. Now, I've had the dream. I told Lori, hey, I had this, or not a dream, I had this vision. I told her about it. And then I reach into my purse for something else, and I go, oh, we never read this word. And so I read it, and I thought you should hear it. It's called Turn Your Face Into the Wind, a prophetic word to the church given to David Minor. The Spirit of God would say to you that the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing through the land. The church, however, is incapable of fully recognizing this wind. Just as your nation has given names to its hurricanes, so I have put my name on this wind. This wind will be named Holiness unto the Lord. Because of a lack of understanding, some of my people will try to find shelter from the wind, but in so doing, they shall miss my work. For this wind has been sent to blow through every institution that has been raised in my name. In those institutions that have substituted their name for mine, they shall fall by the impact of my wind. Sound familiar? Sounds like the tornado dream, doesn't it? Those institutions shall fall like cardboard shacks in a gale. Ministries that have not walked in uprightness before me shall be broken and fall. Now, as a New Testament grace preacher, this is hard for me to think as of God as being mad, right? But he said judgment has to start in the house of God, his word said. This is my wind. For this reason, man will be tempted to brand this as a work of Satan. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? But do not be misled. This is my wind. I cannot tolerate my church in its present form, nor will I tolerate it. Ministries and organizations will shake and fall in the face of this wind. And even though some will seek to hide from that wind, they will not escape. It will blow against your lives, and all around you will appear crumbling, and so it shall. But never forget, this is my wind, says the Lord. With tornado force, it will come and appear to leave devastation, but the word of the Lord comes and says, turn your face into the wind and let it blow. In other words, come on, God, blow me down, right? Because if your heart is right, you will only grow stronger and you will only be promoted, right? Yeah, right. So don't be afraid of what you see. Just say, okay, God, I'm in you. I'm just committed to you. I'm going to be more in you. Turn your face into the wind and let it blow, for only that which is not of me will be devastated. Isn't that good? You must see this as necessary. Be not dismayed, though. After this, my wind will blow again. Have you not read how my breath blew on the valley of dry bones? So it shall breathe on you. The wind will come in equal force as the first wind. This wind, too, will have a name. It will be called the Kingdom of God. It shall bring my government in order. Along with that, it shall bring my power. The supernatural will come in that wind. The world will laugh at you because of the devastation of the first wind, but they will laugh no more. For this wind will come with force and power that will produce the miraculous among my people, and the fear of God will fall upon the nation. Remember, after Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, read the end of that chapter and into the next one or two, and you'll see that people, they had a reverence for the apostles. They were afraid of them. They wanted what they had, but they, like, from afar, because they were scared of the glory of God. Because the glory, see, people lie in church all the time. Why don't they drop dead? Because the level of glory isn't strong enough. But I'm telling you, the time is coming where it will happen again, because God is raising the level of his glory. And it's not that God's mad and he kills them. It's that when you lie in that kind of presence, you're done for. Okay, I'm not done yet. It will produce the miraculous among my people, and the fear of God will fall upon the nation. My people will be willing in the day of my power, says the Lord. In my first wind that is upon you, I will blow out pride, lust, greed, competition, and jealousy. And you will feel devastated, but haven't you read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So out of your poverty of spirit I will establish my kingdom. Have you not read, the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost? So by my spirit my kingdom will be established and made manifest. Know this also, there will be those who shall seek to hide from this present wind, and they will try to flow with the second wind. But again, they will be blown away by it. Only those who have turned their faces into the present wind, in other words, let me translate, make right choices and choose to say, you, not that, you, not that. Only those who have turned their faces into the present wind shall be allowed to be propelled by the second wind. You have longed for revival and the return of the miraculous and the supernatural. You and your generation will see it, but it shall only come out by my process, says the Lord. The church of this nation cannot contain my power in its present form. Remember the vessel that cracks? This judgment that has begun to the house of God, but it is not the end. When the second wind has come and brought in my harvest, then shall the end come. Now, I thought this was so interesting in the timing of God pulling, you know, it was riding around in my purse for 10 days. And I just love when God confirms. Again, he's not condemning anybody. He's offering us to come up higher. And, you know, he will have no other gods. So, you know, I remember when I was 26 years old and I had one revelation, and that was that I know nothing, he knows everything. And I need to make him Lord of every area, not 9/10 of the areas of my life. I learned one thing: if I gave it to him, he'd make it a great success. He'd cause victory. But if I was trying to run it, manage it, fix it, or make the choices, it was a disaster. And so I got down on my knees for the second time of my life, and I said, before I made you my Savior, but today I'm making you Lord of everything. And I said, I'm making one decision from today, and that's that I don't make decisions anymore. You make them. And I made Jesus Lord and not just Savior. I'm just going to have you shut your eyes, and I'm not going to look at anybody, but I feel like there's a few people in here. You've made Jesus, you've said the sinner's prayer, but there's certain areas that you haven't been ready to give him. You didn't trust him, or you were worried how would it turn out, or you've wanted to manage that area because you thought, you know, I could, you know, make it happen better. It'll come out better if I run it. But I feel like God is saying to you, will you let me be Lord and not just Savior? Will you let me raise you to higher heights? Will you consider getting rid of some of the idols? Will you allow me to do a work in you that will transform you from a mere mortal into a heavenly being on the earth like Jesus. Jesus said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father in heaven. And we always thought that was about faith alone, but I'm telling you, it's about faith and a lifestyle and a walk. And God wants to give you the pearl of great price. He wants to give you the fire. He wants to give you the power of God. He wants to give you the glory of God, the heat, the coals that burn your lips, the mist that falls upon the mountain when there's no rain. Have you ever been in a place in a prayer meeting and suddenly your arm is soaking wet, but there's no rain? Or have you ever seen the coals on the altar and they burn your lips so that you think you're just going to die and you're never going to be the same again? Or have you ever encountered the living God? Or have you ever heard the angels cry holy? I'm telling you, don't wait till heaven to say, oh man, if I'd have only known. Don't wait till that day and say, oh, if I would have known, I would have changed everything. If I would have known this, I would have lived my life differently. No, be like Paul, who ran his race. He said he knew he was going to die. He said, everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit testifies to me. I'm getting ready to go. I mean, he basically knew it. And he said, I have fought the good fight. I finished my course. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knew he had done what he was put on this earth to do. When I read that, I thought, I don't want to live on this planet unless I know that when I go home to the Lord, I've done what I was put here to do. And I pray God puts a burning fire in you that you say, I won't be satisfied to go home without accomplishing the thing I was born to do. Because anything else, it's not enough. It won't be enough for you. You would be disappointed. Not just that God would be a little sad, but you would be disappointed when you look back and said, it could have been the glory of God. It could have been this, but I wasn't willing to give up my deal. Just saying. So the Lord is offering something to us. So if you would, if you don't have to say this, and if you don't feel like saying it, don't say it. But if you want to come up higher in God, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to be Lord of everything in my life, and not just my Savior. I want you to be Lord of every area. Father, if I have any idols, I want to bring them to you. I want to give them to you, and I want you to burn them. If I have anything in my soul that needs healing or correcting, I trust you with my life. I bring it to you. I put it at the foot of the cross. Pour the blood upon it. Help me walk through the process of being changed. I want the pearl of great price. I would like to carry your glory. I would like to release heaven into earth. You said my body was the temple of the living God. Let it be manifested. In Jesus' name. Okay, so that was much tougher than I thought it was going to be. I almost want to run to the car and drive away. But I believe it was not in any form a condemnation or a pointing of a finger. I actually believe God is... You are hungry people. I've seen really good hearts in here. I've seen hearts in here that would pay any price for Jesus. And I've seen hearts that just didn't know it could be done. You know, people that would do it, but they just didn't know. And I believe God is calling us up higher into the realm of the supernatural. I believe we're going to see things in this earth very soon where it's going to be awesome to walk in the supernatural. It's going to be actually fun. There'll be things happening to your right and your left, and it won't come nigh you. And that's a fact. You'll see things going off to the right and the left, and not only, you'll be so, listen, if you get whole enough in God, the bomb can fall right by you, and you're just like, oh, bomb fell. Oh, look at there. There's a big hole. There's a place in God of such wholeness where there's nothing that can harm you. I can't describe it, but God wants to bring us to that place, okay? And he's doing it because he loves you, not because he's in any way upset. He loves you, and he wants you to be all that you can be in him. Amen? Okay.